Well, good morning. Last night, I timed out my message, and it was only 12 minutes. So I am going to talk like this. Oh, good morning. Never fear, I added some more. You would not lose out on your money today. Your money would be well spent. Last time I talked, we talked about a couple things. But basically, it was a message about being all in. We were getting ready to go into the Conquer series, and the call that I was putting out was to be all in with whatever it is that God's putting in your life. Well, today I'm going to expand on that a little bit, and I'm going to use my own life story as a kind of a basis for that. So sit back, relax. The first part of this is just a story. So in my formative years, I started off in a very charismatic church. It was just an incredible church that I went to. The gifts of in terms of specifically of the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit moved very freely, and I was moving in them at a young age as well. I remember a couple times that stood out to me very clearly. One was we were in a service one time, and it was just words of knowledge time. And people were coming up to the podium up front and giving words to people. And I think I was probably about 12 years old, and God gave me a word that there was a lady in the church who was pregnant, and she was scared, and that God was giving a message of peace and safety for her and her baby. And I remember that one in particular because I white-knuckled the pew in front of me and didn't give it. It was very memorable. The Lord did redeem it and was able to give the word, but it was just indicative of the type of the gifts of the Spirit that moved at that time. I remember another time being at a kids' camp, and the speaker had come, and we were laying hands on afterwards to pray for him. And I was behind him, staying behind him. And in the middle of the prayer, I opened up my eyes and just kind of looked up, which was abnormal for a prayer time, but he had the gnarliest mole on the back of his neck. And I just felt impressed to touch it. And so I did, in childlike obedience. So I put my hand up there and touched it. And when the prayer was over, it was gone. It was so big, I was looking on the ground. I really wondered if it had fallen. And so I, you know, after everybody had said their goodbyes and he was getting ready to leave, I finally was like, I'm sorry, did you have something on the back of your neck? And he had a doctor's appointment the next day to have it checked out. So it was something that was a verifiable miracle that was done. And it was just that was just very indicative of what was going on in the church there and the type of things that were going on. Well, I'd like to say that continued up until this day faithfully, but it did not. During my high school years, I really started to just kind of drift away from the Lord. We had been going to the same church, that one church, for 14 years, and my family left the church. And it was a good reason for leaving, I believe. It was there were some things going on that it wasn't quite right. But it still had very divorce-like effects throughout my family and throughout that church community as well. It really caused division there. On top of that, then the Christian radio station that we'd been listening to, like the DJs all knew my family by name. Like we would call in and win prizes. You know, this is back in the 80s. You know, we had the rotary dial, you know, going. It turned into a bluegrass station. And if you know me at all, that's not my style. So that was another support that was kind of cut out from my life. And then I also went, I kind of graduated from the Christian school our church had and ended up back in secular school. And so just a combination of all that and adolescence, I just really walked away from the Lord. And it wasn't until I got to college that really changed. But despite that having been walking away from the Lord, I really felt a God's calling on my life in a way that I really hadn't been able to articulate until really recently. But I really felt led to the specific college that I went to. And I also felt led to the career that I was going to go into. I was going to be a Navy helicopter pilot. That is what I wanted to be. And so from the time I was about halfway through high school until I graduated and was commissioned, that was what I wanted to do. And I really felt God's direction in that. And it was in college I started realizing that I'm making all these like life-changing decisions. A lot of stuff happens. I'm young. I'm making these big life directional decisions. And I realized I was not walking with God. And that really put the appropriate amount of fear into me. So I started getting back into church. I started getting back more into a serious relationship with the Lord. God did bless me through this time, even though I had not been faithfully walking with him. He allowed me to expand my 4-year degree into a 5-year degree, which was good because it allowed Anita time to graduate high school. That would have been awkward otherwise. He also blessed that desire that he put in my heart to become a pilot. And so I became a pilot, and I did not so great through school, but when I got into my first flying job, the Lord just really blessed the work of my hands. It was really great. And I can say that in all humility now because it didn't go well after that. But in that moment, it was going well, and it had gone so well that I was able to earn a spot to the test pilot school, which was considered like the pinnacle that we had been held up to. Like, if you're really great, you get to go to test pilot school. Well, I had made that. I was so excited. And that's what kind of brought us into the area here. But in that success, in what was going on, there was a darker side to that in my life. And that is that the success of my life was starting to build a pride. When you talked to me, when you came and talked to me for any length of time, you did not hear that I was a son of God. You heard that I was a Navy pilot. And if you talked for much longer, I was on my way to test pilot school. That was what you heard long before you heard anything about being a Christian or being a son of God or anything like that. And it was really taking a place in my life, as I would kind of find out later. So in 2002, I've described to some people here a series of three accidents that I had, but as I was reflecting on it, it was really more than that. And it was all happened in 2002. And I'll try not to reflect too much on old war stories. The retirees tend to do that. I will try to keep it simple. But so in 2002, I was on a deployment. I was in the Middle East in the start of that year. And I was trying to land on a ship during night. And they would, like, my helicopter did not have night vision goggles. Everybody else in the whole world does, but we don't. The Taliban in Africa have night vision goggles. We did not. So I'm trying to land on the ship, and it's really dark, and I got below the edge of the height of the ship, which, if you know, that's really bad. I mean, you're going to slam into the side of it. So I almost did. I almost slammed into the side of the ship, but God helped us to get out of that and get away from it. Later on in that same deployment, I had a transmission fire while I was in the middle of the Arabian Gulf. No radio contact with anybody, hours from land in either direction by flying. And I had a transmission fire in a helicopter. It just did not. Things that don't normally end well. But God saved me out of that as well. And then a little later on, this is kind of where the story picks up that I've told a little bit more, but I was, again, flying a helicopter and did kind of crashed onto another ship. There was debris that was being flown around by the helicopter. It was really big helicopter. It was spraying debris everywhere. People were getting injured, and so I set it back down and ended up, like, crashing the helicopter. I still have a piece of it at home on my mantle. It was the pin from the landing gear that I put through the skin of the aircraft. Like, not many people have one of those. That's really, it's not something you're going to find on eBay. So it's made the cut every time we try to go through the house and get rid of things. So back in the United States, getting ready for school, my dad and I were going for a motorcycle ride, and I got hit from behind. A guy driving a truck just didn't see me. We slowed down for a school zone. He did not. I got launched over the handlebars of the motorcycle. And then in August of 2002, in Lexington Park, in the field right across from the Pregnancy Care Center, Anita and I actually crash-landed a Cessna to round out my summer of fun. So immediately following this, like, really traumatic year, we got here to the church, and I don't really think that many people knew us or knew who we were or that much about us, but after service one day, Eric Knight came up to us and said that he had a word from the Lord for us, and that God was putting a choice before us, that we could either choose to fly physically and God would bless it, or that I could choose to fly spiritually. But it had to be one or the other, and I had to choose. I'm like, what? It has to be one or the other? Like, that's horrible. I'm glad to say that I chose God, but I have to say that the pride being unceremoniously stripped away was one of the most painful things I've gone through in my life. It was a whole change of identity. I had gone from being, like, the pinnacle of my naval aviation career and all that I thought I could be to being a pariah in my community. Like, I was the guy that had that plane crash. I was the guy. Like, all these other crashes they didn't care about, but that one they cared about. That was a lot. Yeah. So after the flying, and after I turned my page of notes, In I would say, like, a form of depression, I started studying the book of Ecclesiastes and Job, which I generally referred to. I see you've read it too. I like to refer to that as the country music of the Bible. So in Ecclesiastes 3, there was one thing that talked about. There were several things that they talk about as being meaningful throughout Ecclesiastes. A lot of this meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. But one of the things that God really said was meaningful was finding satisfaction in the work of your hands. And that became a promise that I stood on. And that was one of the first signs of God's faithfulness to me in the flying spiritually. There were several jobs that I had after that accident and after that change of getting out of flying. Some of the jobs were enjoyable. I did genuinely enjoy some of my other Navy jobs. Some of them were not. Take for instance my Nav Air jobs. I generally enjoyed the people I worked with. They were wonderful people and everything. But I worked here twice, and both times my job got canceled, like right as I was leaving. So I've often made the joke that like the Navy would have been better off if I had showed up to work drunk, because it would have spent less money on these programs, and we could have just gotten to the end sooner. But, you know, the work of that type of thing. And so when I was in those type of jobs that were just really a grind to get through, and I had no satisfaction in the work that I could see, God was always amazingly faithful in giving me work inside the church, some type of ministry work that I could do. Whether it was here at this church, we worked others in Nebraska and Texas and the different places we lived where the job was a little bit less than desirable, God gave me a wonderful opportunity to serve at church. And it was truly job satisfaction. And so I really felt God being faithful to me through that time. So I completed my 20 years in the Navy, doing, again, these odd, disparate jobs. We used to refer to it as like the land of broken toys. Like if you're off your career path, then the Navy doesn't really have a plan for you. I was off my career path, and so it was just kind of the Wild West of choosing jobs. Some were chosen for me, some were chosen by me, but it was very eclectic at best. But there was one regret that I had about my Navy job that I wanted to bring up here, and that was is that I had a divided heart during that time. So early on in my Navy career, I had really listened to people that were, I would describe them now as naysayers, that basically were poo-pooing the idea of some of the best parts of the Navy. They were talking about how horrible it is to be on the ship and out and deployed at sea and how horrible that is. And then later on, as individual augmentations came up with the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, talking about like, oh, you don't want to go over there, it's horrible, you know, you're working with the Army. And while it's true that I did not enjoy working with the Army, you know, there were a lot of aspects of both the ship deployment that I did and the time I spent with the Army in Afghanistan that were incredibly fulfilling. I mean, they were absolutely enjoyable. And I had robbed myself of a lot of the joy of going on these things. Given you don't want to just go on a deployment, nobody would choose time away from their family like that. But if you have to go on a deployment, then making it one of those types of deployments was a real joy. Like that was so much better than just going and sitting in Bahrain or sitting in some other place and doing these other things. Because of my divided heart, I kept myself out of a lot of the joyous jobs, things that I really found to be great about the Navy. So that's kind of the end of the story part of my life. I wanted to kind of transition to the message now, kind of the so what of that. Well, when I first had this crash in 2002 with the airplane, you know, all the other crashes, they'd been kind of interesting, but with this one came that stripping away of my pride and the stripping away of the identity that I'd had. I was really angry at God. I really found that I was angry. It was my choice, but I found myself very angry with God about it. It was subconscious. It was underneath. I really had been subconscious. It kind of came to the surface one day that what my thought had been is I earned this and you took it away. And it was a really powerful thought. It was really powerful in my mind. And even after it came to light, it was not easy to deal with. So it brought me to kind of the same place that it did Peter did in the verse that Jay was mentioning earlier in John 6. So at the end of this message, where Jesus is talking about, you know, my flesh is food, my blood is drink, you know, that he was saying probably for the purpose of shaking away the people that weren't true followers, he turns to his disciples and says, well, are you going to leave too? And Peter, in his bold fashion, just looks at him and says, where else are we going to go? You know, my God options were pretty limited at that point. I knew that there weren't a lot of other choices out there. This was not a shopping list that I had to choose from. And so, like, all right, let's get on with it. And so I was able to get past my anger with that. And so in this time of transition and trial, what I'd really felt led to do was to start looking at the long-standing beliefs and practices that I'd had in my life. and trying to find what, if anything, the Bible had to say about this, because I needed new foundations for everything. If the Bible had anything to say about it, I wanted to know what it was so that I could understand what was going on and I could be better equipped to do what I needed to do. And this became the new relationship, the new basis of my relationship with God. Not in doing, but in understanding what it is that pleases his heart. Because if he's putting a principle in the Bible, then he's putting it there because this is what he longs for us to do. Probably not because it benefits him, but because it benefits us. And he knows that, and he loves that about us, and he wants us to have the best. And so he gives us these guideposts and directions in our lives so that we will have meaningful lives, so that we will have fulfilling times. And so that was what I was pursuing, although I couldn't have put it in those words at the time. So it was also in that time that I developed this concept of stewardship that I really have now in my life. And we'll be talking more about that, but maybe you've heard me talking up front about the confluence of like finances and relationship and time and how we as stewards use those things together and how we can use them for the kingdom and the way that the Bible kind of intermeshes them. Well, that was one aspect of the change. The next one was that I found myself wanting to get to yes a lot sooner. So we talk about giving God our yes. Well, in my mind, I had had an experience similar to Abraham, where he was called to lay Isaac down on the altar. Well, if Abraham was willing to lay Isaac down, is there anything else he was going to hold back? Well, that was kind of the place that I wanted to be at, is that I wanted to be able to get to the yes quickly in that time. The second observation of my time from the Navy was that my divided heart in the Navy has a really interesting parallel to having a divided heart as a Christian. So we take a look at this from the Bible, kind of looking at examples of where this could be found. So the first one I would look at is in Revelations. As the verse on the screen says, is that our heart is wicked and deceitful. It's really hard to know our own heart. And the Bible talks about really having to apply effort to doing this. But, you know, with God, all things are possible. And knowing your own heart is something that you can do, but it really takes a decided effort and prayer to be able to do that. So the church, several of the churches in Revelations that were addressed at the very start had a divided heart. And just take a quick look at them quickly. Ephesus was working hard for God. They were really into good works, but they had lost the love aspect. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 talks so much about love and how important love is to this. Well, they had lost that first love, it says. In Pergamos, they were holding to their faith, but they were neglecting righteousness. We have a call to pursue righteousness. And yes, we are forgiven, and yes, we are the righteousness of God in Christ, but our righteousness is also a pursuit of loving what is righteous and hating what is evil. And we have to find that not just in society, because that's the log in your eye versus the splinter in theirs. You have to hate it in yourself. You have to find it in yourself and be on God's side working with him to get this out of your life. That is the love of righteousness. And keeping that unrighteousness is a divided heart. And I can tell you it's not a happy place to live. In Thyatira, they were godly livers. They were living for God. But they were kind of lazy or cowardly in their Christian duty. They had somebody in their church that they just didn't want to deal with, and so they just didn't. And so they left her there to minister. And Jesus specifically spoke and said, this is not okay. This is not something that's going to be good. They were neglecting this, and Jesus held that against them. And Laodiceans, they were Christians by name, but they were trusting in their riches. They had a divided heart. And so they were missing out on some of the best things that were to be had in Christianity. So part of understanding is realizing what we are holding back, what it is that we're holding back from God. So in summary, the things that I would say of this is that one of the things that I've been looking at now is what I would call being a professional Christian. Now, there are people that put it in other ways, in 1 Corinthians, we see that, you know, that this was the way that, this is the same principle, this is how Paul addressed it. So, do you not know that all who run in a race run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. this is kind of what I'm, this is kind of the crux of what I'm talking to. But I've been trying to look at it in another way. Another time, Paul described it as a boxing match. In some places, he described it as a running a race. For myself, and trying to put it in my terms, I try to think of it as being professional. If I was a professional Christian, what would I do differently? So professionals really pursue their area. This is their new identity. This is who they are. They attend conferences, they read journals, they study, they research, they go to advanced schooling, all to find out more about their area. They are all into their area. So how do you walk that out? How do you put the rubber to the road on that type of principle? Well, if you would describe yourself as being salt and light at events that you go to, like for your children or such, then study evangelistic techniques. And really ones that you can use, not just studying them in general, but what is something that you could actually do and put them to use? Do you find yourself working in an office? Well, figure out what the difference is that God is calling you to make in that job. What is it that he's calling you to do? Is it something with the work that you're doing? Is it the people that you're around? What's the difference that God's calling you to make? Study that out and really pursue it so that you can be effective and efficient in that ministry. If you're a stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home dad, then, so I retired from the Navy a couple years ago, and I've had a long stint of staying at home, and it's been enjoyable for myself, a little bit of a trial for the wife, but if you're somebody that stays at home, then find the niche that God has called you to, and really dive into that, really make that your identity and who you are in Christ, because it'll only last for a season, but be excellent for that season. Really dive into what it is that you have there. Another question to ask is, how are your spiritual disciplines? How are the spiritual disciplines of your life? We want to make sure that you're not neglecting an area of your own development just because it happens to be unpleasant or outside of your normal habits. The Bible talks about praying in tongues as something that we can do to build ourselves up. When we fast, Jesus talked about that empowering us. When we hear the word of God, we build our faith. So if any of those things are lacking, these are spiritual disciplines that tie right into that. And the rest of the spiritual disciplines probably have ties as well. There are numerous types of prayer. There's numerous types of reading the Bible. You can just read through the Bible quickly. You can really dive in on a chapter. You really want to make sure that you're covering those things so that you are well-rounded in response to what it is that the Holy Spirit is trying to lead you through. Again, for me, what it meant was trying to get to that yes quicker. So for my own life, kind of a funny example was that... So we drive a lot. We drive a lot. We go out to South Dakota. We go down to North Carolina. We end up in our vehicles a lot. And so one of the things that we have felt like God has called us to do, and again, just as for us, is roadside assistance. When people need help, you know, somebody see beside the road, I feel like that God has said that I'm supposed to stop and help. To put that into context, I am an introvert, and I am goal-oriented. So this does not pair well. So getting to the yes is difficult, but God will often call you to those things that are difficult because, you know, he would like for you to go and share the love of Christ with a stranded motorist, I'm sure, but he's also interested in growing you into who you need to be, and you're not going to grow in who you need to be if you keep just saying, okay, God, I'm just going to pray for him as I drive past, and your angels can fix that flat tire. So the other thing in my life, that the way that this took form, was that I have been looking for opportunities to develop the skills that I have. So sometimes you'll see me sitting on the row at the end of the second row here as the prophetic lead trainee. That's a passion of my life. I really enjoy the prophetic. And so that's a skill I'm trying to develop, and this is an area I can by hanging out with people that are excellent in this area already and serving in that capacity. And preaching opportunities. I like this. It's nervous. It causes nerves, but it's fun. Well, that's kind of it. My 12-minute sermon was a little bit longer. I hope that certainly has not run over too far. It's only 10 o'clock, according to the wall on the clock in the back. So. Yeah. If you just give up getting to the restaurants before the Baptist, it'll be okay. We could stay and get through a lot of material here. Well, I'm going to give you, before I get down, I want to give you kind of a lead-in for what things I'm going to be talking about next time, just as a tickler. So it's, if you're, you know, every good speaker leaves the person wanting a little bit more, well, this is the little bit more, or maybe you'll be questioning my sanity later on. But here's the thought that I would like kind of expound on in future times, is that true Christians do not just serve God for the love of God, although that's certainly there. They also serve God for the reward. Now, if that sounds heretical, I'd be interested in expanding this for you later. Another one is that saving money, we kind of consider that as the hallmark of stewardship. But I can point to verses in the Bible say that that is almost antithetical to true biblical stewardship, that God has called us to something that's a little bit different than that. All right. And on that note, I'm going to turn things over to Jay. Thank you.
Well, we're going to be closing out here today, but I just want to say we are blessed here at our Father's house and have been for decades, having amazing men and women of God who are able to come up here and preach at our pulpit, and they minister to us in so many different ways. And Brian coming up has been just really, really wonderful. Several of us have known him for over a decade, as he and Anita have been here and gone again, here and gone again. But they've been back here with us, and we've been so blessed to have them back as part of our lives with their children here and just seeing how he's raising his family. And Brian stepped in here over these past couple months as our office has been impacted by what's been going on in the Frink household. And we've been extremely grateful for his service here to us. And it's been a huge blessing. And this man, even as he's been preparing his message and everything and doing all the work around here, yesterday he was lighting the fire for us guys over at our campfire here on the site. And I maybe saw some pictures of that. That crate fire was awesome. It was blazing hot. We had a wonderful time last night. And so just so thankful and blessed to have just an excellent standard of what it is to be someone who's pursuing the Lord. And I love what you shared with us this morning, Brian. Pride sneaks in interesting ways into us, even in things God has blessed in our lives. And we've got to keep an eye of watching ourselves. And am I stewarding things well? Am I focusing too much on my abilities, or am I focused on the Lord's ability in me? And I thank Brian for how he shared that with us today. You know, as we come to close out today, I'd just like to offer to you, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know him yet, you haven't given your life to him, you could have been in church your entire life, come to him. Because it doesn't matter what your abilities are, what your great abilities are, it's what he can do in you, it's what he wants to do through you, as we lay down our lives for him and say, all right, Lord, take my life, do with it as you will, make me your son, make me your daughter, and come and live in my life and be great through me and in me. And I ask that if you have not yet come to the Lord, as we close out this morning, I'd like to pray with you up here and just offer that to you, offer you new life. You have something to say, sir? All right. When I'm done, Pastor Laney has something to say. As we close out today, I'd like to invite you forward. I'd love to pray with you and just offer you that free gift of life that Jesus has offered us. Pastor.
One of the circumstances of ministry, so we turn to the word for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction, because we need to learn the principles of the kingdom, but we also need to act the activity of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that there are people seated here this morning who need physical healing. We're not going to ask you to go home without having given you the opportunity to engage the Holy Spirit in the healing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So at this season of my life, every gathering is an opportunity to put the Holy Spirit representing Jesus on display, whatever the topic is. And we're at the point of development where both the prophetic and healing things can be drawn upon, because we have people who are experienced in that. So not only do we want you to come to Christ, we want you to enjoy the benefits of the sacrifice of Christ and engaging his Spirit through you for your encouragement and the benefit of others. So I want to ask those of us who move in the prophetic to come to my left, and those of you who are needing a word from the Lord for something in your life, come greet them. See what the Lord might say. Those of you who move in healing or desire to move in healing, come to my right, because we have some folks here this morning that need a touch from God. So start moving. Now, Jay's going to close us out just like he promised. And those of you who need prayer or a word, come see us.
Father, we are so thankful for your word to us here today. We thank you, Lord, for what you can do with a life that is submitted and surrendered to you. Lord, we ask right now as we come before you to receive eternal life, Lord, or to receive a word from you or to receive healing here, Lord Jesus. I ask that we would meet you here. We would meet the person of Christ here with these people. And we just thank you, Father, and we ask for your grace and your peace to be with us today and this week. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you'd like to receive prayer for any of the things we've talked about, please come forward. Otherwise, please enjoy fellowship with one another in our lobby. All right, God bless you.